We are back! Not the sound of madness, but we speak the same vocabulary. Had name Mo Show. Mainstay, not always here, but always a part of it. One Dizzy for Mayor. Appreciate
yes, yes.
you stopping in when you can. Spike on the mic, taking your calls at 727-579-1025, 800-771-1025. And I'm going to bring in someone, and we're going to talk about adages and how they can come true. Everett, how are you?
What's going on, Mo? How you doing?
I'm all right. Everett, what do you go by? Is it Everett Anthony?
Everett. On stage, I go by Everett Anthony because you got to do the two-name thing.
No, you don't necessarily have to. Like Earthquake did.
I ain't that good yet, though.
Simone did.
Maybe you got to be black.
Monique?
Maybe you got to be Monique did. Yeah, maybe you got to be black. Yeah, maybe you got to be black. Everett is... And I'll let him give you a story, but I'm going to tell you what he did. And it is proof of the adage. It doesn't hurt to ask. I got a DM from Everett. I have a show this the last Sunday in June.
Let him do it, but he's going to talk about it.
Last Sunday in June, June 30th. It is the, excuse me while I whip this out, show. We're going to be taping it live at Tide Splitters, Tampa, 4 p.m. show. I got a lot of cool people that are going to be in the audience. I promise it's going to sell out. Get your tickets. I'm not just saying that. It's going to sell out. And I'm not saying that because it's me. It's going to be a fun event. I do a headlining gig maybe once a year. It's been 2 years since I last did this, and I had so much material stockpiled, and I said, let me put together a show. Spike is going to do the redo debut of Spike on the mic, throwing his lukewarm 5-7 at
fire.
Okay, well,
I'm just getting a mulligan.
Yeah, he's getting a mulligan. He's getting a mulligan. Right. Were you there the first time?
No, I can tell you, right?
Okay.
Well, you guys are doing comedy. I'm
I know you're going to be there on the 30th. Come on.
Dude. No, I told you I might not be in town. I might be in Colorado.
Oh, damn, that's right. Yeah. All right.
And now that you got him hosted, I'm definitely not.
So it's going to be the redo debut.
Send it to you.
Yeah, please.
Wait a minute, isn't it being taped?
Yes, it is. So I got a DM from Everett who said, "Hey, you know, I'm coming up. I'm starting out. I'm hitting all of the open mics. I'm doing, you know, it about 3-4 times a week. You know, I'd love to be able to do 5 minutes. If that's okay. If not, that's fine." And to which I replied, "Hey, why don't you host?" Yeah, you know, so it never hurts to ask. You know, I let a up and coming brother get up in there and get into the mix. So now tell people, what do you do primarily?
Oh man, that's a sad story.
Is it what you killing people? I mean, if you're not killing people, it ain't that sad.
He does have serial killer face.
A little bit, little bit.
You know
bit.
What I'm saying?
Most white people have serial killer face?
Well, he's got a point there.
Point taken.
If he's telling those type of jokes, you should cut Spike's time.
and give more. Yeah. What do you do?
I'm a meat manager, so I've been working in Winn-Dixie for
serial killer. See that?
30 years now.
Yeah.
So
damn,
how rough?
Well, what's sad about that? 30 years, you made it up to management.
Yeah, I made it up to management a long time ago. I've probably been in management about 25 years.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, that's really sad.
No, I'm just done with it.
But man, comfy job's a comfy job, man. No hate on that.
What does meat management entail? That means
it's in the title.
Hold on, time out.
They do. They
what kind of stupid question is that, Mo?
Change the tires on the car.
No, what I'm,
hey, so you're a football player. So what do football players do?
Okay, well, without you saying anything, Everett, Dizzy, what does meat management entail?
They manage the meats. All the meats coming in, and they got to sell it at the right time. Make sure it's
they say this goes
over
here.
No, that's not
the pork chops on the left.
No, no,
the steaks on the right.
No, that's stocking. That's meat stocking. No. He's not a stocker.
When the stuff comes in, you got to make sure it's the right order. You got to track the order.
Manage it.
What do we need on the shelf?
Without worrying about offending Dizzy, is he correct? Absolutely not. Just say it.
You see how he tries to walk him into an answer?
I got this.
All right, go.
Mo's actually, he's correct. Because if you're talking about a Publix meat manager and a Winn-Dixie meat manager, those are two different beasts right there.
They're two different beasts, fool.
What does that even mean?
What are you talking about?
Let me tell you what it means. Listen,
hold on, hold on.
It means you were wrong.
You don't have to kiss his ass because you're on his show.
It means you were wrong.
Yeah.
I already kissed his ass with the liquor.
Yeah.
Okay, right. I got that out the way real early.
That's out of the way, yeah. But so meat management means you would.
Oh, this is so exciting. Go ahead.
You oversee
If you want to give a definition, then
no, I'm sorry. Well, you tell him what he does. Yeah,
I didn't know. That's why I asked the question.
But you said no. Mine was wrong.
Well, it was, but
he must have some type of...
Well, it was wrong. He just told you were wrong.
He didn't. He said
it's not the same as
the other groceries.
Which means you're wrong. McDonald's and Burger King. They're two different stores.
All right, sorry. Go ahead, meat man.
Go ahead, Everett. Oh, now you got to be the meat man. Now you're going to try...
You made him meat man.
Now you're going to try and denigrate your brother. Because he had... Go ahead. What does a meat manager do?
All right, so if you work for Publix, basically...
Wait, hold on a second. Who you work for?
He cut him off.
Who you work for? Just be who you work for.
I really don't even think you guys want me to explain this right now.
That is a good question. Who do you work for?
Which one you work for? We don't care about the other competitor. We're talking about what you do.
I work for Winn-Dixie.
Okay, so tell us about Winn-Dixie meat.
What I was going to try to explain is at
you
Publix...
You explained it how you want to explain it.
At Publix, you get to manage. You get to be the manager.
Right.
At Winn-Dixie, you get to manage and be the manager, but you get to be the... Best stocker, you're doing everything. You're not a manager.
Right.
You're an overpaid stocker, pretty much.
Right.
Where you're at.
Yeah.
And they just give
so
you...
So all the things I said that you do.
Oh, yeah.
So I was right.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't disagree. I was trying to help Mo out with the public thing.
You were trying to make him look okay. Yeah, you're trying to kiss his ass.
I kiss his ass. The liquor's right there.
Dude, you're taking 5 minutes from me on Mo's little raggedy show. Nah.
Wait, you were getting 10 minutes?
No, he wasn't getting 10 minutes.
Wait, Mo, are you questioning that?
A little bit.
Yeah, right? He even seen your ex, Mike.
Yeah. He knows you just show up. He knows that's your thing.
Oh, yeah. That's what you do, Mike. You just show up.
When you got it, you got it.
So you look too young, A, to have been in the meat management game for
30
years.
Can I ask you this?
Go ahead.
Here we go.
Guess how old he is. Let's guess. I already know. So you
without him telling me he had been at a job for 30 years, I would have said he's like 37.
Yeah, I'd put 38 too.
Yeah.
47.
47. You're still young. Still young, but yeah.
So he's aging like a black guy.
I wouldn't have said. Yeah, I wouldn't have said. I wouldn't
have said. He's aging like a black guy.
So you started meeting at 17?
I started at Winn-Dixie when I was 15 as a bagger. And then I moved up to stocker like 16.
Yeah, okay, I ain't ask y'all that.
Let the man. You climbed up, and then they said, yeah, but you got to do all those other things still.
You still got to get them cars. Go get them cars in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Everything follows you.
Yeah.
And you got all the meat stock. Yeah, go get them cars.
Yeah, you know what your next job is, right?
Hold on.
Winn-Dixie's messed up.
Has your pay increased exponentially over the course of three decades?
Chasing carts? Is paying the bills. That's what I'll say.
Okay. Hey, that's okay. It's the same thing over here, brother.
Are you meat man? Is Winn-Dixie up here?
No.
Have you stayed at the same Winn-Dixie or no?
No, I've been bounced around to so many. I was at one for like 16 years straight, which that's usually unheard of. Usually you move around more than that. But
well, when are they going to offer you the corporate position?
I wouldn't take it.
Why?
I open my mouth too much.
You're not a corporate type of guy.
They don't like hearing me.
You're an agent of chaos.
Problem.
Okay.
What do they like to say? At what point did you decide, let me give stand-up. Were you always interested in stand-up?
I was always the funny person in my group.
Right.
I did 5 open mics right before the pandemic.
Right.
At McCurdy's.
And then everything shut down.
Everything shut down.
How did the 5 open mic? Typically on an open mic night, your first set is one of your best. No?
Ooh.
Dude, I killed in my first open mic.
All right, so my first open mic there.
He lied. Can we just say that?
Something you can't prove.
I killed.
I used to be able to dunk in middle school.
No.
All day, bro.
Then it became work. But I had such energy and I had no fear. Yeah. I was like, hey, and I went up and it clicked.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I would assume it would have been the same way as Everett, like kind of nerves and stuff. Am I right?
Well, I always hear that it either goes two ways. It either goes really bad the first time. Or really, surprisingly good.
And you're right. That's the thing about your first time on stage. There's no middle ground. You either do really well or you eat it.
And all right, so mine, I decided to pull off a joke that a professional can pull off, not an open micer. I'm not even going to get into what it was.
Well, hold on. The joke's a joke.
It was a black guy joke. He told it on my podcast.
Are you trying to tell a black guy joke?
He tried to throw that, you know what word he tried to say. Yeah.
Wow, there's a lot of tall people here tonight.
Yeah. Security must be light, huh?
Yeah.
Let's just say what I was trying to pull off, some of my good friends, when I told them I was doing this, they thought I was just messing with them.
Was it overcomplicated? Was it a long setup?
It's a long story. It's just the topic is a really touchy topic.
Well, without giving it away.
What was the topic?
Wait. Are you going to use that? Are you going to use that one?
No, people keep telling me, like, never bring this bit back. And I was like, well, once I'm good enough, I'm bringing it back.
What was the topic?
Was it like racial, religious?
It was kind of like you always hear about people having a sexual experience when they're younger and it messes them up for the rest of their life.
Right. Okay.
And when I hear like a girl say that, I'm like, all right, yeah, I understand. But a dude, I'm like, all right, cool. You had a head start with sex.
Oh, you're talking about somebody, you're talking about underage sex.
Yeah.
I wouldn't open with that.
Exactly.
Oh, you opened with it.
That was my whole 5 minutes. Wait a minute.
Not only did you open with it, you did five. If you're an open micer, if it's your first time on stage, and Spike made this mistake.
Yeah.
Spike did 5 minutes on one joke with no punchline. You don't ever go up there and do what? That's a lot to pull off.
And he was like, man, it's sad when girls get abused at a young age.
Yeah.
But guys, ooh, what's up with you, pussy?
Yeah, get it in there.
I was like, that's the punchline.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You did three.
You got in there?
He did a minute and a half.
You know what made it so much worse? I had at least 20 to 25 people there that knew me. And this is back when you can go live on Twitter.
Oh.
So I had like 1,500 people watching me on Twitter when this was going down.
All of them watching you bomb.
Oh, man. It was rough.
Ew, that's hilarious.
That was a mistake. That was a mistake.
Yeah, but everyone needs to bomb at some point.
Well, you don't need to, but you're going to bomb.
I'll say that.
It is.
Yeah.
But the mistake was telling one joke. You got 5 minutes one. This is what I would say to you. If it's the subject matter is not whatever, telling one joke in 5 minutes and you only have 5 minutes, that's not a smart move.
Would you also agree that? Yeah, like comedy's ready. It's hard. Great. But telling a story on stage,
right.
That could be even harder sometimes than jokes.
Right, and that's what I did up there, which I thought was a great move. I heard Mo, as I was answering the phone, said I made a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. That was something that you wouldn't have done. You got to tell me, because I talked to people. They enjoyed
it. I have the tape. There's not a laugh to be had. You know when they laugh? You know when they laugh? When I went up after them and clowned them for 5 minutes. We can do a contrast of the laughter with Spike on stage and the laughter of me clowning Spike.
Listen. This is Mo talking, so you know he's always going to put himself.
I've got it on tape,
Mo,
Spike.
Mo, watch this. You sent me the tape. I have it on tape, too.
No, it does. What it means is I'll send Dizzy the tape, and he can make the determination because I know I'm right.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to make you feel
right. Yes, you are. Because I'm saying.
I'm not trying to make.
I thought the thing was good.
I believe that, Spike.
Well, can I ask this? What was your story based? Don't tell the whole story.
It was based on my
like
experience.
Family?
My experience coming up playing, trying out for football.
Okay.
And he told it on the air.
All throughout it.
And it really was not.
Wait, I told him on the air?
I'm sorry. Because we were talking about that. We were talking about this. You told what the story was about, and it was crickets. But hold on.
Wait, hold on a second.
There were jokes throughout that 5 minutes you did?
Yeah.
Spike, when you watched the tape, did you accidentally put in a Dave Chappelle
Listen to me. It was going to be bad to you regardless.
That's not true. That's not true, Spike. I'm not looking for anybody to fail, especially my boy. If you'd have went up there and killed. We know you.
You tell it to people in the cheap seat.
I would have loved to be able to come back and go, bam. Spike killed it.
That's a lie.
Do I not speak highly of your editing on our projects all the time? You can say no all you want, but that's categorically untrue.
But then you say,
I always compliment you when you do well.
I would say that he would have probably said if you did well, that you did well. But he wouldn't have liked it.
Why do I want to see Spike fail?
You enjoy more when he falls on his face.
I get that every Monday through Friday from 6 to 6. And there you have it. We focus back on Everett? Can we go back?
I was going to make a joke, but I don't want him to think I'm roasting him. I'll be like, all right, back to the meats. What do we need?
At this point, I'm starting to think. They got me thinking the only reason you invited me to do this is to watch me fail because I just started in January.
It's a cat named Mo on 102.5 The Bone. Stream Real Raw Radio live anytime on the free 102.5 The Bone app.
When you're injured,